And good afternoon, Scott Spears along with you on this Thursday, July the 25th, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour, and boy, do we have an awful lot of housekeeping to do today with our big Ohio State Fair giveaway. Now, let's start with this. We have two sets of tickets to the Chris Young concert, which will be happening tonight at the Ohio State Fair. Now, David Burns wanted one set of these tickets, and the other set was won by Pete Gruber. Now, we have not heard from either one of them, and at 2 p.m. today, we close. And if you don't have these tickets picked up by 2 p.m., then you cannot go to the concert tonight. So, if anybody wants to go to Chris Young tonight, who's an up-and-coming country singer, call me right now. The first two people who call who want to go to Chris Young, who can be here at the studio before 2 o'clock, which is within the hour, give me a call, 740-383-9944. If you want two tickets to see the Chris Young concert tonight at the Ohio State Fair, all you have to do is call me, 740-383-9944. Now, the caveat is you have to pick these tickets up by 2 o'clock today. So if you want to see Chris Young, 740-383-9944, and you can have those tickets. And looks like we might have somebody right away who wants these tickets. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, this is Pete Gruber, winner of one of those tickets, but I'm not going to be able to go, so hopefully someone can get them and use them.
No problem, Pete. Hey, thanks for calling in and letting us know.
All right.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, now we know. So we do have some tickets cleared up here. Pete Gruber will not be able to use the tickets tonight, so we do have two pairs of tickets to the Ohio State Fair tonight to see Chris Young perform. Now, you do get in free. It comes with free fair admission at the Ohio State Fair. You have to pick up the tickets by 2 o'clock today. The first two people who tell me they want these tickets will get these tickets. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, if you would like to go to Chris Young tonight at the Ohio State Fair. Now, we drew some tickets for Life Jennings earlier on. Now, we've given a lot of these today. Now, this show is tomorrow night, Friday night, at the Ohio State Fair. But Judy Summers, who was one of the winners this morning, said she could not go to this concert tomorrow night. So, we're going to draw for another person to win a chance to go see Life Jennings tomorrow, and you can pick these tickets up through tomorrow at 1 p.m. So 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow. So our next winner to see Life Jennings Friday night at the Ohio State Fair is Brittany Garno. Brittany Garno. So Brittany, you have a pair of tickets waiting for you to see Life Jennings at the Ohio State Fair on Friday night. Now, you can pick those up before 2 o'clock today, or you can pick those up tomorrow before 1 o'clock, 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock on Friday. Pair of tickets to Life Jennings. Now, if anybody's not going to use these tickets, let us know as soon as possible. So right now, we have April Avery and Brittany Garno have won the tickets to Life Jennings. That's Friday night at the Ohio State Fair. You can pick those up today before 2 or tomorrow, Friday, between 10 and 1. Now, the Chris Young tickets we have available right now. Now, those are for tonight at the Ohio State Fair, but you've got to pick them up before 2, and all you've got to do is call me right now. If you call me right now, you will get the tickets to Chris Young tonight at the Ohio State Fair. So phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give me a ring, and we will get you on the air. Easy as that. Now, tomorrow's will be moving to a new time slot on Friday, 10 a.m. of noon. That should be a lot of fun. That way Charlie will be on the same time every day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 until 12 noon, starting tomorrow. And the exchange will be on tomorrow, 12:15 until 1 p.m. And tomorrow, we will draw for the Hank Williams Jr. tickets, which is Saturday's concert, and the Toby Keith tickets, which are Monday's concert at the Ohio State Fair. So, all kinds of stuff going on. I hope these Chris Young tickets do not go to waste. Remember, if you want to see Chris Young tonight at the Ohio State Fair, we have two pairs of tickets left here, but you've got to pick them up before 2 o'clock. Give me a call now, and we will get you those tickets. Got to pick them up before 2. The concert is tonight, I believe, at... what time is this concert tonight? 7 p.m. at the Ohio State Fair. The Chris Young tickets are available. Now, if you want to get into the contest to win tickets to Hank Williams Jr. or Toby Keith or any of the other great shows at the Ohio State Fair, we are going to do trivia during this particular segment. Okay, you know what? We've actually got something coming up here, so we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. Get back after this, but very important break. Don't go anywhere. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. A shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better.
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. All right, we are back here on this Thursday afternoon, 25 minutes past the hour, and I do want to remind people once again that Chris Young will be performing at the Ohio State Fair tonight, up-and-coming country artist, and we have two sets of tickets to the Chris Young concert tonight at the Ohio State Fair, and all you have to do is give us a call here at the station before 2 o'clock today, and you can have these tickets. We have two sets, so time for two winners. 740-383-9944. And we also have drawn our winners for tomorrow's concert, Life Jennings. April Avery and Brittany Garno are the big winners for tomorrow's concert, Life Jennings, at the Ohio State Fair. You can pick those tickets up today before 2 o'clock, or tomorrow 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. You can get those tickets, April and Brittany. And tomorrow we will have our big drawing at 12:15 for tickets to the Ohio State Fair for Hank Williams Jr., who will be performing on Saturday night, and Toby Keith, who will be performing on Monday night. So we will do that drawing tomorrow at 12:15 during the Exchange Club. And don't forget, you can enter that contest right up through 12:15 tomorrow. Charlie Evers will be on tomorrow morning between 10:10 and 12 noon in his new time slot on Friday. Now, we're going to shift gears here this hour because a big event happened on Monday, and if you were on Facebook or watching television, I'm sure you saw it, because there is a movie that is highly anticipated coming out this fall, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. The trailer for that movie came out on Monday, a little snippet of the movie to be released this fall, and boy, did it get a lot of response and review and critique. I saw it on Facebook everywhere, television, internet, radio, and the critiques were interesting. And there's really only one critique, though, that I wanted to get. And as many of you know who've been listening to the station for some time now, we've been lucky enough to have been visited in person by David Newell, the originator of the character Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the mailman, for over 30 years. As I say, he was here three different times in person and has been on the telephone with us on countless different occasions for different events. He joined us in Pittsburgh when we were there for the stamp unveiling. And of course, he worked with Fred Rogers for many, many years. So I am highly interested to know what David thinks about the trailer that was released on Monday. And because of that, gracious as he always is, David Newell has agreed to join us here for about 10 to 15 minutes via telephone, the toll-free highway, to fill us in. We're always glad to be joined by the legendary television star, David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. David, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Scott. Speedy delivery. Here we are again.
Here we are again. When did you know the trailer was coming out Monday?
Yes, in fact, they teased it. They teased the trailer on the internet. It said, being released tomorrow, whatever it said. Watch for the official preview, they called it, of the movie. So I knew it was coming out, but I knew it even before that because of the movie company let our company know that they were going to start promoting it. I think they held it back until this time because Tom Hanks, up to this point, was promoting Toy Story, which he does the voice for Woody. And so he was doing a lot of that, so that makes sense. That's why they waited till now to release it. But it, as you just said, had so much attention. It was everywhere. I got calls, and I have a friend who lives in Sweden, and somehow he saw it. So it's getting a lot of attention.
It was quite amazing, the response. I remember on Monday when the trailer came out, I was looking through my Facebook news feed, which consists of a lot of different people and a lot of different places, and I kept seeing the trailer over and over on Monday. It was very popular.
It was, and I hope that speaks well for the movie. I hope it does well, too. For your listeners, it's going to be released November 22nd nationally. And then I understand there's a foreign release of it, too, in England. It's going to be released in December. And then my friend told me he heard that in Sweden it's going to be released in January. So I guess it'll get an international release. And I wonder how many people outside of the United States, other than Canada and the islands and so forth, know of the neighborhood that well. But now that I think of it, they know Tom Hanks, and you don't have to know Fred Rogers necessarily to know the story of this film. It's not a biography of Fred Rogers. It's a meeting of, from a different perspective, it's an author who came to interview him for a magazine article, about 25 years ago, and he came very begrudgingly. His editor This is a true story, too. It's based on a true story. His editor signed him this story, and I got the first call from the author saying, I'd like to interview Fred Rogers. I've been assigned the story, and when can I do it, et cetera, et cetera. And he came begrudgingly, and to make a long story short, and this is what's in the film, it changed his life, meeting Fred, and the author was going through a lot of personal problems, I think. I don't know exactly what, but they became fast friends, and it changed his life. So I think he then, in turn, helped the screenwriters put together a screenplay, and that's been about 5 years now in the works, and finally it came to be, so that's what we're about to see in November. That's a short overview for you.
It's absolutely tremendous, and we were lucky to have that author, Tom Janot, on this program, and what a fascinating story it was. I can hardly wait to see the movie.
Oh, I didn't know you had him on the program just recently.
Actually, it was back in, right after the movie was announced, so maybe back in March, April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom, that's who called me originally based on his editor's assignment. And I got to know Tom, too. He spent, about a week, as the movie shows, in Pittsburgh interviewing Fred. But they, the movie people, reversed the meeting. The first time Tom and Fred met was in New York City, because we were in New York filming the show, some segments. So they met there. Then he came to Pittsburgh. The movie has it just it turned around, but that's, it's I guess, artistic license. But it's I'm anxious to see it. I have seen, I would say maybe a fourth of it being filmed at QED, WQED, the public station in Pittsburgh, where you were for the stamp unveiling. In that very studio where you were, that's where they filmed this movie, as we did Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Amazing.
And I don't know if all your listeners know, but Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is a product of the Public Broadcasting Service, and the station in Pittsburgh where we taped it is the local public broadcasting studio. And Fred helped start it many, many years ago. In fact, 65 years ago, Fred went on the air with a children's corner, a program that he started 65 years ago this year. It's that program now, which started in Pittsburgh, elements of it are going around the world now, 65 years later.
It's an amazing thought to think of. When they were at WQED and you were there when they were filming, what was that like for you?
It was almost a time warp, because the movie company, they recreated the set that we used. Our set, our original set, is now on display at the Heinz History Center in Pittsburgh, so it couldn't be moved back. It was permanently installed. So the company, the movie company, took pictures of it. Their art directors went to work recreating down to the color. It's the same color. And when I walked into the studio, it looked like I was going back 20 years. It was quite fantastic to see. And they duplicated the trolley. They duplicated the puppets and sweaters. They got some sweaters that looked like ones Fred used. However, and in the movie, there's a McFeely character who's played by an actor from Pittsburgh and New York, and they recreated my costume for this character, down to the buttons. But they couldn't find a delivery bag or glasses exactly like I had, so they used mine. So on the McFeely character in the movie, the glasses he's wearing and the mailbag he's carrying are mine. That's a little bit of me.
That's very interesting. Now, when you met the actor who was going to portray you, what was that like?
Well, I had seen him before in plays, but I met him, and he doesn't, I don't think, look like me. He were about the same height, and I guess around the No, he's younger than I am. But he actually, we met on the phone first. He called to say that he'd gotten the part, could we meet? And I said, sure, and we did, and he wanted to sort of find out my voice pattern and so forth. But no one in the film who plays somebody plays themselves. In other words, there's a cast member, Betty Aberlin, Lady Aberlin, who is in the movie, too, her character is. And she's played by an actress. And there's a few staff members. Of course, they could have played themselves, but they're played by an actor. So everybody in the film is portraying somebody related to the program. It's very interesting. I guess they didn't want to mix. They didn't want to mix the real characters with an actor, so they cast it all with professional actors. And I'm so anxious to see it. It, as I said, it opens, I guess, nationally the 22nd. And, you know, it has me concerned a little bit because, as you know, the Hollywood saves its blockbusters till the holiday time. And maybe they consider this a blockbuster, but I heard on November 20th there's a big blockbuster opening, one of the superhero films, I don't know which one, and then the 22nd, 2 days later, they open this. So it'll be something for everybody. This is not really a children's movie. It's for adults who actually grew up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That's the age. The people in their 50s on down would appreciate this because that's the group of people who grew up with the neighborhood. They're in their 50s now. The first wave of children who grew up are in their mid-50s and on down. So we'll see. It's going to be very exciting, and I hope they do something in Pittsburgh as far as maybe they'll do a premiere or something in Pittsburgh. I don't know. I haven't heard any of those plans yet.
Mm. Now, when they were filming at WQED, did you have a chance to meet Tom Hanks?
Oh, I did. I did a couple times. One time, I don't know if you know, I read somewhere that he collects typewriters. All types of typewriters, historical, and I saw one day in a catalog a small typewriter about the size of a Christmas tree ornament, and I said, you know, when I meet Tom Hanks, I think I'll get this and give it to him, and I did. And I guess he has it somewhere. I don't know. And we talked about the neighborhood. That's the first day I met him when he was taping in the studio. And then again, I know, he's a hockey fan. And as you may or may not know, Fred Rogers had a hockey card made up in his honor for the 75th anniversary of the National Hockey League. And so I gave Tom Hanks one of those cards. But he's a nice man. He's probably the perfect person to have been cast as Fred Rogers. And the song, he sings the song, and when I heard an audio version of it, I thought at first it was Fred singing. So I think they picked the right person. So we'll see. Hey, you've seen the trailer. You've seen the trailer through.
Right? I did. I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, what was your impression?
The first thing I was really surprised about was how close, because we all know Tom Hanks, huge actor, yeah, of course, Oscar winner, and boy, he is so close sounding, looking like Fred Rogers.
Yes. You know, he did his homework. There is a center in Pittsburgh called the Fred Rogers Center. It's where all of the archives of the program, all the programs are stored, all of Fred's writings and all the public relation materials, everything related to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is located there. So if you're a researcher and working on an article or a book or something, you can access it. Or if you're studying children's television, you can access it. And Tom Hanks spent a day going through some of the tapes, watching Fred, going through some of his writings, reading some of his speeches, And he did his homework. He came probably about a month before they actually started shooting and spent a couple of days and was in Fred's hometown, which is about 50 miles away from Pittsburgh, Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And I think just had a tour of the town just to see where Fred came from. You know, what did the town look like? You know, if you come from New York City, that's one impression. If you come from a small town, that's another impression. You know, am I making sense?
You are.
At least that, and that was his way of, I think, studying who he was portraying. You know, and it's also a very thin line. You've seen all of the parodies of Mr. Rogers over all of these years, you know, Eddie Murphy and countless comedians doing Fred. But this is a thin line, you know, between parody and portraying. And Tom Hanks nailed it, I think. He has it as close as I can see to anybody playing Fred and not making it a parody.
The other thing that struck me, I think, was something that you had mentioned. I certainly wouldn't refer to it, I haven't seen the movie, obviously, just the trailer, I wouldn't refer to it as dark, but definitely not something you would take children to.
No, I think teenagers, you know, but not. It's not a children's movie, and I hope that's not misleading to some people. I hope they read what it's about. It's certainly not offensive, but I don't think they would understand it because it's a story about the author who was having a rough time in his personal life. And meeting Fred was like meeting the Dalai Lama. It changed the course of his life. Did Tom Janot, when he was on your program, talk about that? Talk about some of the life-changing things that happened to him?
He did. He one of the and I don't know if it's in the movie or not, but I remember Tom talking about the importance of Fred's weight, 143, and going to the club. I thought that's very fascinating.
Yes, the 143 is, I love you for your listeners. They each had a number to it, 143. But, you know, I think, and I remember Fred telling me this one time, where the 143 came from originally. He spends his summers in Nantucket, Massachusetts, the island, and it was a whaling port for years and years and years. And the lighthouse on Nantucket, it's 3 hours out at sea. So it was a whaling port, and during the whaling days, the men would be out of the boats for months, you know, trying to make their living. And apparently the families back home would send out a Morse code signal, 143, that said, I love you, or they came up with those numbers to represent 143. I remember Fred telling me that story, and somehow he's adapted it in some way to mean I love you and his weight and so forth. It is a fascinating story, and probably they make it into that in the film. I think they do. I'm not quite sure, but I haven't seen it all.
And the other thing I remember Tom talking about was the trip to the cemetery that Fred went on.
The cemetery
that Tom, I guess, had went with him. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but that Fred had went to the cemetery where his parents were buried, I think.
Oh, yes. That's in his hometown of Latrobe. It's called the Unity Cemetery, and it's in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, at a chapel there, Unity Chapel. And that's where Fred is, too. And I guess they have a family area there for the McFeelys and the Rogers. McFeely being his mother's maiden name, and Mr. McFeely was actually Fred's grandfather and his mother's father. And that's, for your listeners, that's the character I play. He named the character McFeely. I don't play his grandfather, just in honor of his grandfather, he named the character McFeely. But yes, Tom Jeannot came to the studio when we were taping, I believe, maybe the same program that they maybe represented in a movie. We were taping that program when Tom Jeannot was here. I think that might be the case. I wasn't there on that day, but I was in... Oh, the other thing is that, and I hope it's still in, they did a scene in a restaurant, and they asked, the producer asked us, Joanne Rogers, his widow, me, and a couple of staff members to be in the first, at the next table near where Tom's table was in the restaurant, and be extras. And the camera panned by us when they were filming. I don't know if we made the final cut, but I think they wanted us represented, the people who worked with his company for many years now, especially his wife. So I hope we're in it. You have to look for us, Scott. You know what I look like. Your listeners don't without my costume on. They'll see me being represented by an actor in my costume. But it's going to be an interesting movie. And by the way, the guy who plays, the actor who plays Tom Jeannot, his name is Matthew Rhys. And he starred in the excellent series called The Americans. I don't know if you saw that or not, but it was an excellent series. And he's a Welsh actor, and he's doing quite well in this country. He's had a lot of parts in different series, and he plays... And he plays Tom Cho and Tom Hanks and Matthew Rhys are well suited. They do their scenes very well. They're perfectly matched to be Tom Jeannot and Fred Rogers. Mm. So it's a restaurant scene you'll have to look for, and you may or you may not see me.
I think they'll leave that in. I think that'll be a bit of important movie lore. Now, David, this is... go ahead.
Yeah, but if they do leave it in, you have to look fast. Don't look down at your popcorn for 2 seconds. You may miss me.
David, you have seen the trailer now. This is what we will see in some form or another right on up through November when the movie's released. This is what is to get people to the movie theaters. On two notes here, kind of a two-part question, because you knew Fred Rogers for so long, is this... do you like the trailer, first of all, and do you think it will get people to the theaters, being a publicity man that you were for so long? Will it serve the purpose?
You know, that's a very good question. I was thinking that myself. I said, is this intriguing enough to get people there? And yes, I think it is. I think, first of all, I think if you don't like Mr. Rogers, if you didn't grow up with it, you may not go. But on the other hand, I think if you didn't know Mr. Rogers at all, I think the trailer would be intriguing enough, being that it's Tom Hanks too, to get somebody there who is not that familiar with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So yes, I think the trailer serves its purpose and suits the material. In other words, it suits Fred. It's not a trailer that, you know, most trailers that you see in theaters are, you know, jump cuts and they move so fast and fast talking dialogue. This is very, very at the pace of the Neighborhood. So yes, I think it will intrigue people to take a look at it, especially now in these days of what we're going through. You know, it seems to be a nasty, nasty climate now with the politics and backbiting, and I think the world needs a little Mr. Rogers, and so many movies are so superheroed up. You know, that's fine, but let's get something that I think would be supportive, be supportive and bring back some memories too. So I think it has a threefold purpose, you know, nostalgia being one. Another is to be more like Fred, you know, and three, to show that Fred Rogers, this wasn't an act. He was who he was. What you see is what you get when you met Fred. And I hope it renews our faith in humanity. And I don't know if the trailer says all that, but to answer your question, I think it will intrigue people. And, you know, they must do some sort of research when they put a trailer together, who they're appealing to, and let's make it fast-paced for younger kids, and let's slow the pace down for older adults. I don't know, but does that sort of answer your question? I'm reacting to the way I reacted to it.
No, it's you're exactly right, and it does answer the question. Knowing Fred as you did, is this documentaries are different, and we've all seen the great documentary that was put together and the footage, but this is something different. This is somebody portraying Fred Rogers in a movie that's not a biography. Is this a catharsis in any way for you? Is it a happy thing? Is it a sad thing, knowing the man as you did?
Oh, boy. I think it's both. You know, because you look at it and you say, I wish that were Fred. You know, unfortunately, it has to be Tom Hanks. Not unfortunately, but you know what I'm saying. Fred is not with us. But overall, I think it's happy for me knowing that there's a movie company who wants to help with Fred's message, which the movie does do. And I think that is very satisfying. And it would be very satisfying for Fred, too, to know. And he wouldn't say it. He wouldn't articulate it. He's not the kind of person that would beat his own drum. He would sit back and let somebody else do it. That's not who he was. But they have. They have done it. They've taken a story, and I think in this story they're showing a very positive relationship between two people and how one person can help the other. And that's what Fred did all of his career through television, helping families with young children. And So to answer your question, I wish it were Fred. It's not Fred. Tom Hanks is doing a wonderful job relaying Fred's message to the masses, and it will also get the message internationally, too, which pleases me. So that's a long-winded answer to your question, but I hope it made sense.
No, it's great. And David, you know, one of the things about this is, you know, Fred has been gone
16
years? Yeah, 16. Did you ever think, and the show has been off the air for 18 years now, did you ever think that this show, this children's show, which was not on one of the major networks, which was on PBS, would be the subject of a hugely successful documentary, would be a motion picture with the biggest star, I think, arguably, on the face of the earth, Tom Hanks, Oscar winner. Did you ever think that would be going on 20 years later?
No, I didn't. It's amazing that it has. The program is not on the air officially. Some public television stations carry it. It is available on Amazon if your listeners ever want to catch it. So it's available, but you have to go to it. And, of course, DVDs are available. But, no, I never thought. In fact, when we stopped taping, I thought, oh, boy, I hope Fred's message is not going to fall by the wayside like many television programs do. You know, as wonderful as Captain Kangaroo was, you don't hear that much about Captain Kangaroo anymore. It was probably the best children's program on commercial television. And, as you said, public television was not a major network. It had a big viewership, but nothing like the commercial stations. And Captain Kangaroo was on CBS, a big powerhouse. And you don't hear that much about Captain Kangaroo, and I wish they would play some of his programs again, because they were wonderful for that age group. But I'm, you know, just the other day I was writing a foreword to a book that's coming out on Fred, and I started out by saying, little did I know, when I got a telegram about interviewing the Fred, that I know what I have realized, I'd be writing a foreword to a book called Mr. Rogers and Television. And it's almost the same thing you just got to ask. And no, I didn't. I'm pleased. I am so pleased. And, you know, Fred would be too, because he wasn't in television to be famous. He was in television because that was the medium at the time he started the program that was getting into homes. It was getting a message. And so if that's happening, let's do a positive message. And that's why he created the neighborhood, to get information to children and parents that's positive. And, you know, I've always said, and I don't know if it's the right analogy or not, but I've always said that Herman Melville, who wrote Moby Dick, the famous novel, he never sat down and said, I'm going to write an immortal novel that will be around for centuries. He never said that. He just sat down and wrote, probably from his heart and from his experience. And Moby Dick is one of the classic all-time famous stories about the great white whale. And I don't know if it's the same analogy, but Fred did the same thing. He wanted to get positive information to families with young children. And he didn't want to become famous. In fact, it was a burden to be well-known and recognized. That was not what Fred wanted. He wanted to get that message across to children.
David,
again, another long-winded answer to your question, but I hope it made sense.
No, it's great. And I have one final question here for you, because I think it's kind of interesting when we discuss this. Because as you said, I'm sure in that time, because of commercial television and no cable television for a lot of the run of Mr. Rogers, more people probably did see Captain Kangaroo being on CBS. More people probably did see Howdy Doody and Buffalo Bob because of being on NBC. But yet, Mr. Rogers sustains. Now, this movie being about the relationship between Tom Janot and Fred Rogers, is it because maybe this man who you knew, who was seen, I think, as just a good guy, but maybe a little square by a lot of people, was maybe more complex than some of these other people?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. More complex, just as an individual. A very modest man on one level, and a man who was brilliant, and a man who's very sensitive, a man who had an ego, but that ego helped him get positive information out to children. Also, the program itself had a depth. As Fred did. There was somebody who identified Fred, it was an actress whose name is Tyne Daly, and she spoke at his memorial service. And she said, he's the real thing. And meaning that he wasn't an actor, he was a communicator. What you see is what you got. And, you know, on some level, maybe that's what did it. He was who he was, speaking from the heart. And those words he wrote are as immortal as Herman Melville's. You know, they last. And it would be interesting. We won't be around to see, but I just wonder if some element of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood will be around 100 years from now. Not necessarily, you know, there might not be television, who knows. But there'll be something that'll keep words going to the public. And the words that he wrote about the emotional growth of children somehow have to carry on. And it'll be so interesting. And I bet in some way, somehow, some of these words that he's written will carry on. Who knows?
I think it's a pretty safe bet, and I do want to remind people, the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood coming this November to theaters, but if you want to check out this trailer, if you haven't seen it, and I'm sure many of you already have, just search Tom Hanks, Fred Rogers, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood on Google or on Facebook, and I'm sure you will come by it. It is always such a pleasure to be joined by David Newell, the original, one and only, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for more than 30 years. David, you're one of my favorite people. Thank you so much, as always.
Well, thank you, Scott, and anytime I can help, you know, you can call. I can't always do it when you call, but if I can, I do.
Absolutely.
So, and remind your listeners, too, that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the program, can still be seen by going to Amazon.com and several other places. So it's still, so spread the word, introduce it to young people.
Absolutely. Stay well, David.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Speedy delivery.
The one and only David Newell. How about that? Now remember, Charlie Evers starts at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 10 to noon. Hank Williams Jr. tickets we're going to be giving away. Toby Keith, holy moly. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Kids and the Ad Council.